You're listening to the Ohio Conference Cast, where we explore topics related to the workings of Ohio Conference. Here are your hosts, Bill Seymour and Thomas Dunn.
Hello and welcome everyone to Ohio Conference Cast. This is Thomas, and we have a good guest with us tonight. We're looking forward to interviewing, but we also have a new co-host replacing Bill Seymour, who's out gallivanting around the hills of Europe right now. So I'm sure he would just love to be in Wayne County this Friday evening, but we have a very capable substitute for him. Oh. So Marilyn, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, we'll see about that. And I'm sure I'm a poor substitute, but I'm glad to do this. I'm Marilyn Rossiter. I'm pastor at Summit Mennonite on the edge of Akron, up there in Barberton, Summit County. And good to be here.
And we have Irvin Stutzen with us. So Irvin, why don't you give a little introduction of yourself?
Yes, I'm the executive director for Mennonite Church USA. Have been since 2010, for a little over 7 years here. And before that, I've been in various roles in the church as a pastor, an overseer, and seminary dean, those kind of things.
Yeah, so we're glad to have you with us, and I hear your tenure is coming to an end, right?
Well, I've announced my retirement maybe for about a year from now, okay, in the spring of 2018.
Yeah, so I'm sure you have a mix of emotions. Do you have any plans beyond that, or is that plan that until you get through this year?
There's not any plans I'm announcing besides just a portfolio of interesting activities.
There you go. That sounds good.
Yeah. Not one thing, but several kinds of things I'm interested in pursuing and some things I've been asked to consider.
So, Irv, you're here in Ohio with us. This is night two of a two-night stint speaking to Ohio Conference. So you were, what church were you at last night?
It was Salem Mennonite in Elida, Ohio.
Okay, we're in Salem Mennonite.
Right.
Kidron, Ohio right now. So you're hitting the Salems.
Wow.
There's another one in Worcester you could go to tomorrow if you're interested.
And this Sunday is Trinity Sunday, so maybe you should do that.
Well, I'm told there's like four Salem Mennonite churches in this conference.
I'm very excited about going to Orlando, and I'm just wondering if, how do you see visionary leadership in the future?
Well, we have lots of emphasis in our church on local congregations, and certainly that's where we need to put our best foot forward, good pastors for local congregations. These congregations got together in area conferences, all of them in some way, and we need good leadership for area conferences. Area conferences are coming to have some distinctions between them. They always have. There's always been different polity, but it often good leadership emerges on an area conference level so that those leaders have a sort of way of being together with that group of congregations. And it's those area conferences that come together to form Mennonite Church USA. So I'm just talking about building from the foundation up. Local congregations, healthy local congregations, are basic for good leadership in a larger church. And it's often from among those leaders that area conference leaders are chosen, and the same way with denominational leaders. Most of our people who have those kind of responsibilities have had responsibilities at those other levels as well, for familiarity with the polity of our church and just for the experience that it brings to be involved in some local context.
So are you going around to all the conferences or most of the conferences and doing a similar thing that you're doing with Ohio Conference here, or are we unique in that?
Just several. I have, I was in the Central Plains Mennonite Conference in Iowa, and with the Indiana, Michigan, and Central District Conferences together in Goshen, and then two here, and then for tomorrow, I'll be with the Allegheny Conference. But the other orientations are being done online, like through webcasts, for anyone can be on.
So if there are people that can't make it to the session tonight or last night within Ohio Conference, could you give a quick summary of kind of what are your talking points or what are some of the things that you're covering in these discussions?
Well, first of all, an offer for them to join on June the 13th or the 15th in the evening.
And that's online?
That's online.
Okay.
And those links have been sent out earlier, but essentially people can join. They'll need to register and join in a webcast. And what we'll do on that webcast is probably similar to what happens this evening, but with a people in the room, we go with the flow. If there's particular kinds of things we give an emphasis to, we'll go that way. Last evening at Salem and Elida, we actually spent much more time than we had done in other settings on the Israel-Palestine resolution because people had very specific questions and observations about it. But generally, an outline will be to have talk a bit about the delegate responsibility, what it is, and sort of who we are as a Mennonite Church USA, how this delegate role fits into the larger frame of things, and then look very specifically at what we'll do in Orlando with questions of the Israel-Palestine resolution and also the Future Church Summit.
So we've talked a bit about Future Church Summit here at Ohio Conference Cast. Terry Hsu was on and explained it, and our representatives that had gone to CLC came and did a podcast, and they explained it. So we've heard a couple perspectives. So what would be the Irvin Stutzman's perspective on Future Church Summit?
Well, actually, I've had Glenn Guyton come in by Skype or by a Zoom conference for video conference, and I think that will work this evening as well. So it's not saying it's radically different than mine, but he has been the person who's given leadership to it in other places, so I like to have him make a presentation when he's available by connection.
So Glenn will be beaming into Salem tonight?
Wow.
I think so.
Cool.
He's willing. We'll see if the technology works out. I mean, I have a lot I could say about Future Church Summit myself. I was part of the CLC meeting, the Constituency Leaders Council gathering as well. Did you have like Bob Souter on here?
Yep, Bob was here.
And let's see, who else would it be? Cliff Brubaker maybe?
I'm not sure if it was Cliff or Ralph.
Or Ralph Reinford?
I think Ralph was there, and also Jessica Schrock-Kringenberg was there.
Right, so you've had those persons who could share their experience of it. I'm a little more familiar with the theory of it, perhaps, what it means to accomplish and how people are supposed to go about that. Bob was there last evening and spoke about it.
Yeah, okay.
At the meeting last evening.
Yeah, he was really excited about the prospects of it. When we interviewed him, he was really excited and looking forward to it.
I don't think he'll mind me quoting him. He might have said it himself here when you ask him. He said he left physically exhausted and mentally energized after the process. He was speaking of the intensity of it and yet how interesting it was and how happy he was with the outcome. So it's really getting back to your question, Marilyn, about what should leaders be or what will leaders become. That's actually what the Future Church Summit is about, to have leaders working together to say, this is what we want it to be.
And also very Anabaptist because it's discerning the spirit for the future.
And it's also quite communal in its way of doing it. People around tables, and it's a communal process on steroids. that is, the technology aids it along that way because it makes possible the gathering of information that's gathered at tables in ways that's very difficult to do without that technology. Because literally having a listening committee that tries to listen to everybody and sum it up is one thing, but actually having the things in front of you and having a computer program that puts it in front of everyone in real time is
amazing.
It's amazing.
And effective.
Yeah, people can see what they've said. It's up there.
Yeah.
Now it's put through a theme team because not every comment can be up there from every table, but they're pulling the themes from every place and people can judge right there whether it's been done or not.
So when we had Terry on the podcast here a couple weeks ago, maybe it's a couple months ago now, I can't keep it all straight, but he talked about the new statement that MCUSA, the executive leadership, had come out with. I don't know the name of the statement, but basically stating that executive leadership wasn't investing energy into, I'm not sure what the proper word is a policing of conferences or
regulation.
I think that's a better word. It was pretty fresh when Terry mentioned it. Has there been much feedback on that, or what are you hearing as people grapple with that?
Well, actually, there's nothing new about that. It's been in the purposeful plan since 2011. In other words, it's been a part of the purposeful plan. If you look at the goals of the plan. It has something in the back called alternative routes or routes, depending which part of the country you're from. And it shows, you know, is it this or this? And so that section is called resources or regulation. Mm-hmm. And that resource, that section essentially says that we primarily do resourcing. And it gives a list of the ways that a national conference resources area conferences or local congregations. Mm-hmm. And it says in that section, we are not a highly centralized church which exercises control over areas. So it's not as though it's a new idea. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember discussing it with the delegates at Pittsburgh. The questions came up about what does this mean, resources versus regulation. I think this latest iteration of explanation or really of clarification is just to clarify what that means, that particularly in regard to ministerial credentialing. Mm-hmm. Because there is some question, there has been some question about what role should a national conference play in ministerial credentialing. Mm-hmm. Because we know, our polity has always said, in a sense, that area or that churches, local congregations call pastors. Area conferences credential the pastors. And the national conference sets the policies or the suggested polity for how that is done. Mm-hmm. So that's been that way for really quite a long time. Now, the General Conference Mennonite Church, this would have been pre-merger, had a national database where they worked a little bit more closely with, say, actually kind of maintaining a list of who's doing that. Mennonite Church has always been a little bit more area conference focused. But we do keep a database, but the people who put the names in the database are the conferences. In other words, it's area conference ministers who have the key, so to speak, for their area conferences. So each area conference puts their names of in there. It's been that way all along.
Yeah.
What the board did a couple years ago was say, we're not going to list the name in the database, for example, of Theta Good, because that conference is at variance. Mm-hmm. But it's in there. It just didn't show to the public because it, for her to be a minister and do what they want her to do, it's in there. So this latest action simply clarified that we leave that up to area conferences to decide. It was saying what was already happening in a way, and then said, we'll make that public to list what whatever area conferences put there. Hmm. So it's essentially saying area conferences control ministerial credentials. We still have a polity at the national level.
Okay.
So it may have looked like a big change, but it really wasn't a very big change from the practice for a long time. It was more, I'd say, an admission of the board that they don't have control over it, and they're going to not be writing letters to conferences saying you're at variance or whatever. Conferences already knew that, and some of them were sort of taking a bit of pride in that. Hmm. So it didn't seem productive to be saying that.
I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Irvin, for all the things that you have brought to us, mainly your compassion and your leadership, your positive spirit. I just want to thank you for being a great leader and for helping us to be a better people together.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I hope we are a better people. I love the Mennonite Church. I made the statement to the Virginia Conference not long ago that I'm an enthusiastic member of the Virginia Conference. I'm part of an area conference. Mm-hmm. And I'm an enthusiastic member of my local congregation. Hmm. And for the most part, I'm an enthusiastic member of Mennonite Church USA. I'm also sobered by just some of the issues we have as a church. We're really exhibit A of being human. Hmm. And needing God. And I think these times of anxiety and tumult and difference just keep pointing out how much we need God. Mm-hmm. How much we need to be in prayer, how much we need to care for each other, how much we need to listen for each other, how much we need to confess our sins to one another, and just be humble before God for who we are and what we need.
It's a good word. But is there anything, we don't claim to have a big following, but we know some of our Ohio Conference people listen. Is there any message that you'd like to give to Ohio Conference while you're here?
Yeah, I think I may say this evening in our orientation. I explained it last evening that it's useful, I think, for people to remember that we are very local-oriented as a church, as a broader church. That is, we really do favor the local congregation, and we allow local congregations to do what they want. And we hardly have met any that don't want it that way when it's their own congregation.
Yeah.
I mean, congregations really resist the idea of people coming from the outside and telling them what to do. So we do have a tendency at times, and I know there's folks in Ohio Conference that say, we really need to do something about those folks over there. But I would just challenge people to think, if you were those folks over there, what would you think of people from over here coming to you and saying, we want you to do it differently? Most of us actually resist that when it happens to us. And so I just say, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander in terms of how we respond to each other along that line. As I was telling the Virginia Conference Council a couple of weeks ago, I love Mennonite Church USA, and I love the members of Mennonite Church USA all over the place, and the congregations. It doesn't mean that I'd want to be a member of every particular church that I've met, or that I'd feel totally at home in all these congregations. But I feel a responsibility as the executive director to be the pastor to all of those congregations and to hear their story and to show love to those people, even if I wouldn't approve of everything those do or say I'd be an enthusiastic member of any of those congregations. And I suppose lots of folks who are listening for Ohio Conference are conference pastors. So I'd like to give them a little challenge, if I might.
Please.
If you had a choice, would you choose every member that's a member of your church to be a member of your church? Or if you could work it out to where some of those would go some other place, would you sort of say, sure, that might work out well that way? And if you had the choice, have you ever seen people in some other church that you'd say, boy, I wish we had those members in our congregation? Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Pastors have those feelings sometimes, but they know that it's their job, essentially, when people come in the door and want to be in that church, that they pastor those people.
Well, I would say that's probably the case in 50 Ohio Conference congregations, but not Summit or Crown Hill. That's just, but yeah, I've heard pastors say that a lot.
All of us have our preferences. I mean, I'll get more personal than that. Would all of us as parents choose the in-laws that we have?
Well, Thomas is about to get married, so that's probably in about a month from now, he's going to get married. So,
well,
that we won't make you, you know, we won't ask you to answer that, Thomas.
I'm speaking just a little bit in jest, but it's just absolutely true that most of us don't choose some of our most essential relationships.
Exactly. Mm.
They come to us.
And sometimes I think God does that on purpose.
Yeah. So I'm the executive director of Mennonite Church USA. That means that I work with people that I might not have chosen those people to be with us had I done it. But, you know, there's some folks that I've gotten to really love because I've hung around with them a bit. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to know more about them. And so maybe my challenge to Ohio Conference is stretch yourself a bit by hanging around with people sometimes who have a different perspective than you. Don't have to be like them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make your church like theirs, but expect that there'll be other people who have similar attitudes about your congregation. Mm-hmm. And find ways, if we can, to say, to stretch, to say, can God love these people? God help me love them too.
And Christ is in them.
Yes. Christ in them, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good word. So I think, I don't know if we can end much better than that, but I think there is one thing I want to mention in Maryland. Why don't you tell the audience what your July 2nd looks like before we sign off?
Oh, well, I call this my grandma career. I feel like I feel humbled to be looking at an ordination at the ripe old age of 64, 64 years young. Anyway, also on the 2nd, I will be ordained, Lord willing, at Summit Mennonite.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you
or
very much.
Or condolences, whatever's right. Now, I mentioned
pray
that.
For me.
Blessings.
Yes, thank you.
It's an affirmation. Ordination is often an affirmation and a sort of accountability as well. I joke about the condolences because I was ordained as a bishop at the ripe old age of 31 years old.
Wow.
And I remember I remember when the announcement went to congregations, and it went to the congregation of which I was a pastor. I walked out the back, and I'd had people, some people say, you know, congratulations, and others were saying, we'll be praying for you. And the age range made a difference, who was speaking.
Yeah.
Younger folks, congratulations. Older, sort of understanding the responsibility. But you already understand the responsibility. And you've been doing it. You've been doing that work. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's
thank
good,
you
good to see that happening. Neither of us will be able to be there, but it's exciting. So thank you, Marilyn. And thank you for joining as a co-host. And Irvin, thank
my
you for
pleasure.
Coming to Ohio Conference. We're looking forward to hearing you tonight, the rest of the night at Salem. But thanks for joining us. And have a good night, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Ohio Conference Cast. We would like to hear from you. You can email us at ohioconferencecast@gmail.com with any topics or questions you would like us to explore.